Bon après-midi and welcome back to another week of La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM. Before we start the show, I would like to acknowledge the fact that I am located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Today's show includes two interviews for you. The first is with a band called Claws, and right before we get to the interview, here is their latest single, Rather Be Home. For being here with me today. I was just wondering, before we start, we'll just have a couple fun questions to go through and then we can get more into the music side of things. I was wondering if you have a favorite TV show.
Oh yes, so many.
You take this one.
I love television. I love stories. I went to school for creative writing, so I think they like hold a special place in my heart. My favorite show of all shows, which Graham knows, is The OA, which was a Netflix original. It stars Britt Marling. She's the co-creator and writer with Zalbut Manglidge. And it's wonderful and so awesome. I know you have different favorites.
Oh, my favorites change all the time. I don't know. There's like the classics that I have of like Breaking Bad and The Wire and those sorts of things. I'm really loving Queen's Gambit right now.
Oh, so good. If you haven't
Netflix started. Show about chess prodigy, it's really good.
Amber, I think we're like soulmates. I'm actually studying creative writing right now and my favorite TV show is The OA.
Seriously? Oh my God. Yeah.
I love that you like heard my whole answer as if you did not know.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, maybe she hasn't heard of this.
That's so funny. Yeah, you were saying everything and I was like, oh my God.
It's the best. And you know, this week I actually watched The Sound of My Voice, which was the first film that they made together that kind of got them recognized at Sundance. It's streaming on HBO right now, and I loved it. There's a lot of parallels to The OA, but it's a whole different story.
And it's called The Sound of My Voice?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'll check that out. Thank you.
I'm always happy to meet a fellow OA fan.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm gonna put Amber on blast.
Oh, great.
When the OA got canceled, a group of fans got together in Times Square and all did the movements in Times Square. And Amber went and did the movements in Times Square.
So cool. Wow.
Cool, nerdy, you know. Same.
That's great. I wish I could have been that. Yeah, I know. That was such sad news. Everyone
really heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm very resentful still.
Me too. If you could control any element from like fire, wind, air, water, which one would you control?
Oh, I'm a water sign. Mm. I think I would control water. I don't know, that just is my gut instinct. It seems the best because you could like walk on water, ride on waves, you can make it rain, you can make it snow. There's a lot of cool stuff you could do with that. You could probably live underwater, which I think is what I would want to do.
Yeah.
Be a fish.
My gut said air. I don't know, because I guess maybe...
You're an air sign.
But I could fly, possibly?
He's an air sign, and he didn't even know that.
I didn't know that.
Astrology is real.
Yeah.
Learning so much. if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? It could be anything. It could be like a salad. It could be ice cream.
That's hard. I'm going to go with my gut and say tacos. Like, you can put so much in a taco.
Every, like, one meal? Could it be, like, one cuisine? Like, overarching?
Trying to bend the rules?
I would say soup dumplings.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know if you've ever had soup dumplings or, like, Szechuan-style soup dumplings, but yes, that would be it.
It's soup and a dumpling.
Yes, like, soup inside of dumpling. It's brilliant.
Going into a bit more of your musical history and your past as musicians, how old were you when you realized that you wanted to get into music, and how did you take those first steps at getting into, you know, a musical mindset?
Oh, I mean, as long as I can remember, from a very young, like 3 years old, and like I loved Michael Jackson. That was my first like visceral musical memory, and like just being drawn to music as long as I can remember, and like played in bands all through school, so just always just kind of just naturally been with me.
I would say the same for me. When I was really young, I learned that I could sing, and I just remember like adults always like being really impressed that like I think I was probably around 3 or 4, you know, impressed that like such a young person would sing, and my mom would make me sing songs for her friends. Mm-hmm. And I loved Melissa Etheridge and, you know, when I was old enough, like Britney Spears and the Spice Girls, and just like loved pop music a lot as a young kid. And then when I was a little older, I was like in chorus and stuff, but a lot of my friends introduced me to like indie music. And that's when I really connected and really understood that music could be this special thing and capture feelings in really like magical ways. Like it felt like the closest thing to being understood that I had gotten. And I didn't realize that I could start writing my own songs until college. But at that point, I just loved writing songs and I loved singing them. And then I met Graham.
Who would you say are your musical influences, maybe to the band, but also to yourselves as individuals?
Certainly. I mean, for me personally, I've got a lot of inspirations. I think, you know, touching on the music that I really liked in high school, like the Shins and James Mercer, Jenny Lewis, especially Rilo Kiley, shaped me a lot. But I do have a lot of pop music influences as well. I think pop music is really fascinating, and I've always been interested in what sort of like bubbles up to the surface of the mainstream. And the one artist I can think of who really I find so inspirational is Lady Gaga. I've always loved her. I think she's awesome. Right now, I mean, like I love Lizzo. I think she's just one of the best artists to come along in a really long time. But yeah, like older stuff like Heart, really has always been inspirational to me so much. It's hard to narrow down.
For me, like Fela Kuti is one of my biggest musical influences. Bjork, Fiona Apple, Portishead, the Beatles, Alison Krauss.
That was a strange jump. Here.
I know. Well, that's like my influences are so all over the place. Fish. I was a big Fish head. I'm not ashamed to say it. I mean, all there's so many different things that kind of influence me musically. There's so much. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Like if you saw like our vinyl collections over here, and it's just like the most random thing collection of music.
If you could feature any one of those artists on a song, who would you choose?
Oh my gosh. Like, what an honor that would be bestowed upon. Like, how do you even choose?
Bjork, that's all who I've ever wanted to work with.
Really? Like,
that's Bjork, yes.
I would not be mad at a Bjork feature. I don't even know. I mean,
I guess. It wouldn't be Jenny Lewis?
It might be Jenny Lewis or James Mercer. I think in my wildest
dreams. Maybe both. Heart, just say both.
Yeah, or like the Postal Service.
So Graham, going just slightly into your past as a producer as well, I just have a question from a listener for you.
Sure.
So Ali was wondering, when you're working and when you've been working with major label artists, would you ever voice your own opinions on the song that you'd be working on? And how would you keep your egos from clashing in that process?
That was his name. Yeah, that's a great question. And it really just depends on the situation. It's so situational because like I first started out as assistant engineer, then I was a tracking engineer, then it just bled into me becoming a producer. So like when you're a tracking engineer, a lot of the times you're not really having a lot of creative input into what's happening in the room. You're recording the music, but there's usually especially on major label stuff, producer and artist, and they're kind of working it out and you're working with them to kind of get it all recorded. But also like if you have a really good long-standing relationship with an artist and you build trust over time, they will start asking you. It's kind of like a thing, like you wait for them to ask you. Yeah. And then if they ask your opinion, but even then you kind of have to be careful and tread it. Cause like, if you say the wrong thing, you know, artists are sensitive people and you could just like totally kill the vibe. So there's a lot of psychology into that. But then if you're like, as a producer, usually you're getting paid for your opinion. They're paying you and they're bringing you in for your taste, for your opinion. So as a producer, when I'm working with people, that's, you know, there's a lot of back and forth. And it's a good question about ego, because it's a lot of, you know, if there's a creative difference or you're having a creative discussion, even it happens with me and Amber, and you're not on the same page, somebody has to give. You have to just kind of feel those situations out and take your ego out of it. Like, okay, you know, a lot of times when I work with artists, this is my opinion. I think doing this certain thing will make the song better. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. There's no right or wrong. And at that point, that's kind of usually how I navigate those situations.
Yeah. And for us, oftentimes the things that we argue about, like we get a better result because of it. So I always come out of arguments feeling like, well, I'm glad at least that happened, even if it was a little unpleasant, because I feel like we always get to like something better than we would have otherwise.
If you're thinking of the main structure of a song, so lyrics, beat, melody, in what order do you approach the different things that make a song?
I think it is different for us all the time, although having worked together for so long, it follows like a more usual pattern at this point, although not always, which is that like I'll maybe write a song in the air on my own, or I'll have an idea for a song, like a melody lyric combination, and I'll bring it to Graham and sing it, and we'll really try to listen to like the root of the song, like the feeling behind it, and Graham will play chords and then, you know, start producing out from there.
We found that to be the most successful for us. There's so many other, like, even, you know, we've done some other ways of like, oh, I'll make a track first, or like a skeletal track, and then right to that. And I mean, a lot of pop music is made that way. But we've also tried just coming up with stuff completely together from thin air. But for us, yeah, that dynamic of kind of Amber, like, because I think you really need that space and time to sit with the melody or sit with the lyrics and like get it to a place where you feel really good about it to like want to show.
For sure. For sure. I'm kind of shy about my process in that way. Like, I want privacy. Like, I'm an introvert, and I want time to really get to know my ideas, to know how I feel about them, and to be like confident that this is the song that I want to be writing. Because oftentimes it's not. Like, I'll get like a strange download of a song and that I like or that I think is cool, but maybe it's just not a fit for our band. So it's about knowing like when to follow those leads and when to like put them to bed, you know. It's something that I think I've gotten better at over time.
And how did you two meet and form the duo? Who kind of brought out that idea?
We met at a house party, at Graham's house party, in 2013, in the summertime. We didn't know each other, but a mutual friend of ours had just invited me on a whim, and I decided to come, and ended up meeting Graham. And, you know, he at the time had a home studio, and a bunch of people were there just kind of vibing, like a lot of music people, just hanging out and like playing instruments and singing songs. And we just vibed and realized we had a lot of the same tastes and both had, you know, interest in starting a band.
Well, we started working on music together, not even thinking about having a band or doing a artist project. We were just kind of writing songs to pitch to other artists or just kind of, yeah,
just for fun,
just writing stuff and with no, I mean, yeah, to pitch possibly, but just to, you know, write songs. And then we were like, hey, maybe we should make this a band.
If you weren't in the band, what do you think that you would be doing at the moment in terms of career?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I don't know.
I mean, I would probably, like, the only skill I have to give this earth is making music. It doesn't transfer to anything else. So I would probably still be working, because now, like, my job is the band, which is a blessing, which is great. But I'd probably still be working with other artists in some shape, form, or fashion.
I think I'd probably still be in academia. That's what I was doing before this. And I had one foot in, one foot out, because I was getting my master's degree in literature, and I have had, and maybe still have, you know, dreams of writing in a different way, not writing songs, like maybe stories or novels or something. But it's just such a difficult path, and music was a little bit more compelling to me.
How did you come up with your band name and your duo name?
So, like I mentioned, I'm a literature nerd, and I especially love Greek mythology and always have. And we were thinking of band names, and I was thinking about like sirens, you know, ancient Greek sirens, and I really liked that they are described as like these beautiful women who are also really adept musicians who just have like one weird thing wrong with them, you know, horns or talons or tails or claws. And so our band name was originally CLAWS, but over time we changed it to two V's just because it's easier to find us on the internet that way.
I was also wondering, thinking of shows in the past, do you have any fun memories, like favorite memories, or maybe not so favorite memories from any shows that you've done?
Like live shows? Yeah.
Oh, both.
Many of both.
Yeah. Well, we were able to play one show this year in February, right before the world went to hell. And it was a beautiful show. It was here at Gramercy Theater in New York, and we were playing with this really awesome band, CMS, from
Argentina.
Yeah. And it was just great. It was just a great vibes, great show. So if we only had one show to play this year, that we were lucky that we had that one.
Yes, it was very joyful and wonderful and just a good memory. I'm glad we have it.
Yeah. And I think this is a good and horrible story.
Oh no.
Our first time ever playing LA, had this awesome show lined up. get on stage and the fire alarm starts going off.
Oh no.
And what
is that? In the middle of a song. So we're kind of like trooping through.
Like flashing lights and loud noise.
And it stopped. And so we like, you know, got through the song and it stopped. And we're like, okay, I think it's good. And we started playing the next song. It starts going off again. Starts going off again. We're like, okay, start playing. It wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop. And people just start leaving. And I can't say that I blame them.
I can't blame
them. Because at this point, they're like, maybe there's a fire. Yeah. Maybe we need to leave.
Maybe we should be concerned.
You know, maybe there's an issue here.
I was concerned for myself.
And then we eventually just had to stop. And
yeah, like, it was very sad.
Yeah. So that was our LA fire alarm debut.
Love you, LA. We'll be back.
We'll be back. Was that the end of the concert or were you able to continue?
Oh, no, that we played maybe four. We got through like four, maybe five songs.
Yeah.
But before we were like, okay, this is not fun
for
anyone. The audience, us, we were like, well, we are so sorry, but like, we don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Probably.
We were really bummed, but at the But now it's just funny to me. It's just hilarious.
That is a very funny story. I wanted to talk a little bit about Dance in Place that you came out with very recently. You've also put out a music video for that. I was wondering what the main theme of the song is.
Oh, it's about joy. It's just about being cool with who you are, where you are in the moment, and choosing to celebrate it and be glad.
Well, yeah, I mean, we used to talk about like quitting the race too. It's just kind of like, hey, you can drop out. Like the things that our culture tells us are important aren't what's really important.
So true. You know, I think it's so easy to put your self-worth or at least have your self-worth invested in like your finances or how far along in your career you are or what other people think of you. And I think that that is such a joy thief in so many ways. And it's a lesson that I'm always returning to. And I think, you know, I wrote the song because it's a message that I need to hear and that I need to remember. And I hope that, you know, if other people need to hear it too, then they do.
You also mentioned that Dance in Place was a little bit of a challenge when writing it, because it was more of like a happy song than maybe some of your previous work. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think it was a goal of ours. You know, as people, we've been interested in finding more joy in our lives for a while now. And it was something that we wanted to bring to our music, but didn't necessarily know how to do it in a way that felt genuine, because we typically do make darker music that's a little bit more emotional or maybe a little sad. So it was hard. It was really hard. But we worked at it for a while. And I think we nailed it.
Yeah, well, we're like, hey, maybe we'll start the song off with a major chord this time. It just felt so weird. And we wanted to make dance music.
Yeah.
Like, we really wanted to make our version, you know, whatever that looks like distilled through us. So,
are you thinking of carrying that optimism and positivity into future works? Or do you think that you'll return to more of that darker side?
Well, we can't speak about it too much, but I will say that it has been carried into more of what we have made. And I think for the foreseeable future, like, that's the space that we're interested in occupying. Although I think that there's still room for feelings within that spectrum, because, you know, joy can be experienced in myriad ways and myriad moods.
Or like using, I do love bluegrass music. And one of the great things about bluegrass music is they would have the happiest sounding music with the darkest lyrics on top. And like that juxtaposition hits a weird note, you know, it's like finding joy in dark things.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Cause I feel like that's what life is. That's, you know, every day you have a chance to react to the things around you, and you know, I'm trying to react with joy.
And you mentioned that you can't say too much about it, but just thinking about the future of your music, when can people expect maybe new songs, new materials? Are you considering doing Any, you know, virtual shows in the upcoming future?
So you have very good timing, because just today we have announced that we have a new song coming out on Thursday, November 12th.
Next week.
And it's called Hey I. And if people look really hard, they could find an Easter egg about it.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It was lovely to meet you.
Likewise,
thank you
for all the great questions.
That last song you just heard was Dance in Place by Claws, a song that was brought up quite a bit during the chat that I had with them a few weeks ago that you were just able to listen to just now. It was also great being able to find out how much Amber and I had in common, both from studying creative writing and all the way up to having the same favorite TV show. It was a lovely chat with them. Another chat that I was able to have around the same time was with another East Coast US band called Uni, and right before we jump into my interview with them, here is their song DNA.
Much.
Do you guys have any questions, concerns before we start the interview, or?
I
thought we were already done.
Yeah. I have a thing.
That's it, guys. Yeah. 5 minutes, it's a wrap.
No. We're kidding. Yeah. Shoot.
So thank you for coming in to talk with me today. I'm here with Uni, the band, and you guys are kind of spread all around the U.S. right now. Where are you all?
Well, David's location is undisclosed right now because he's on the run from the law.
I can't be very honest about it because no one's supposed to know where I am right now.
Jack.
The less you know, the better. You don't want to be part of what I'm mixed up in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I asked. You
can understand.
Jack and I are in New York.
Well, yeah, I was in New York. I'm currently at the North Pole. It's that busy time of year.
He's one of Santa's little helpers.
When he's not singing Uni, he's wrapping presents for all the children around the world, like a little elf.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to wear your elf costume, Jack. Where is it?
It's at the dry cleaners.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Well, you better get it ready for December.
If you could move to any other country in the world and live there for 6 months, which country would you move to?
Well, do you want us to tell you the answer that you want to hear, which is Canada, or do you want the real answer?
Alex,
we'd love to live in, what is it, Saskatchewan, Manitoba.
Japan, 100%.
Manitoba.
Japan.
Probably Italy, Mexico. Somewhere where I don't
you are
have
Italian.
Yeah, I'm Sicilian, bruh.
David, was Saskatchewan your real answer, or...?
No, I guess if I had to live in another country, I'd go to Texas.
The country of Texas, soon to secede.
Pretty much.
If you could have any animal as a pet.
I think that one goes to Charlotte because she already has the animal for dreams.
No, I want a skunk. I've got some kittens. They'll have to do for now, but I really want a skunk. A domesticated skunk. They have their stink glands removed.
I think I'd like to have a little, what are like baby deer called? Fawn. I'd like to have a little fawn, but it has to like genetically stay little and like just sort of.
A shrunken deer?
Yeah. He just like, they'll just be really like precious in my house. But I have this guy next to me. He's chewing on. That's Eddie.
Okay, I'll get my little. He's a little bat cat. That's my other dream pet is a flying fox.
David already has his dream pets right here.
Yeah, Charlotte and Jack are my dream pets. They eat a lot and they smell really bad, but other than that, they're great.
Yeah.
You're like, I just right. On the sidewalk, David. What are you waiting for?
Come on.
Are you going to clean it up, or are we just going to all sit around and smell the
Well,
stuff?
I just realized, like, I look like I haven't brushed my hair in 2 weeks, and that would be an accurate statement.
Because, yeah.
Maybe I should have brushed my hair before this.
Yeah, looks are so not deceiving.
All right, what's your next question?
Sorry.
If you could only wear clothing of one color for the rest of your life, what color would you choose?
Clear.
Good answer.
Yeah, let's go with...
I mean, I have to... Black, right? I mean, the realistic answer would be black.
Yeah. I guess black.
But Kemp, they don't make any animal onesies in black, though.
They do. I have a bat onesie.
Oh, you do?
It's my favorite one. Yeah.
How did you guys meet and decide to form a band together?
Well, we originally were conjoined twins and we had to be separated. It was really awkward. So there was no real meeting involved.
J-date.
Yeah. How did y'all meet? I came in the picture a bit later.
I was trying to sell one of my kidneys on Craigslist and David responded.
Yeah, I
we got to talking.
It was the first time that I'd actually tried to remove a kidney, but I figured how hard could it be? Doctors do it, and they're a bunch of stupid idiots who don't know shit. I mean, look what this is. You can't even cure a fucking flu. You can't even cure a little flu. Really, the whole country has to get it. The whole world. Unbelievable. I was wrong. I wound up removing Charlotte's heart instead, which it turns out she didn't ever even use, so she's been fine.
Now I'm heartless.
Yeah. Not a big change in her personality, though.
They hate it here.
Hey,
what a band, they said.
What was that TV show?
It'll be fun, they said.
Oh boy. I mean, the real story is pretty cute, actually. David and I were friends and ne'er-do-wells, and we were in a cafe one day, like, brainstorming. We're just a block away from here. Brainstorming, where the hell are we going to find a lead singer? And in walks this, like, 7-foot-tall, like, alien freak in, like, a huge brimmed hat and, like, velvet bell-bottoms and a suit and, like, this beautiful boyfriend accompanying him. And I was like, holy shit, David. I was like, elbowing.
This is the perfect guy. No, we honestly said, this is the perfect guy. And we asked him to be in the band, and he said no. And we were really bummed out, so we got Jack instead.
Thank you, David. No. That's not what happened. So I was elbowing David, and I was like, wow, that kid would be perfect, but like, no way he can sing. He probably just looks cool. And so, like, we kept giving each other the eye from across the table, and he was kind of eavesdropping on our conversation, but none of us had the nerve to go up to each other. And so, anyway, we ended up getting some other, like, lead singer temporarily, and then some shit went down, and we had to, like, do auditions for a new lead singer, and then, like, in walks Jack, and like, he kills the audition, just, like, slays it, and it's a week before a sold-out tour, so we're panicking. We're like, we need a new lead singer, like,
no, but
stat.
That came after Jack and I met on a photo shoot that we did with my girlfriend at the time, where Jack wore a sequin thong.
Yeah, and I think I got
he wore a sequin thong, yeah, but I did not meet him at that point, and that was just sort of like another happenstance. And then he walks into this audition because David invited him from having met him on that photo shoot, and like, he slays the audition. He's in, like, platform boots and Daisy Dukes. And then afterwards we're like, wait a second, like, we've seen each other before. Yeah. And then we, like, pieced it together. We're like, you're that kid from a year ago in that cafe, right? And it was just sort of like this, like, magical moment where it was like, okay, this kid is definitely destined to be.
Yeah, that's where I knew I got. I was like, there's no way they're not going to give it to me after that story. There's no way.
Yeah.
we
pieced it together.
Sort of, like, movie-esque. And then we got on all the tables and started, like, dancing and singing. Everybody knew.
Right. Well, yeah, a few days later we went on tour, and it was like
that was
his first time performing in a rock band, and he killed it.
It was like we went on tour like 4 days later after I got it. They were like, okay, Gray, here's like 15 songs, can you have these all memorized, and I'll see you in Atlanta. Like, it was really magical. It was great. And then you know, reality started kicking in, and it was
now
awesome.
All broke.
It was really special, and it definitely.
No, we really miss touring. Like, it's been really intense for all of our musician friends who make their whole living from touring, and they can't because of COVID. And besides, we also just miss it.
Yeah, I just love it. That was the hardest part at the beginning of all this.
I really miss Forensic Files.
Yeah. Chilling in bed with David, and
It's the only time I get to watch it is when we're on tour.
Yeah,
because we all share beds in a motel room.
You guys have Forensic Files in Canada? You guys, there's no crime there, so probably no Forensic Files. Here in America, people steal things and they kill each other.
Yeah, it's lots of fun.
Wild place.
Always for the insurance money. Yeah. It's always a disappointing twist in the end. It's like, oh, yep, the spouse did it for insurance money again.
So it's really weird, guys. I don't want to freak you out, but I just got this, like, I took out this really big life insurance policy in Charlotte this week. It was just a great deal. I couldn't pass it up, but, like, I thought we could go ice skating together, like, near a waterfall. What do you think, Charlotte?
Sounds great. I'm in. I'm really bad at ice skating.
Yeah, don't forget to bring your flamethrower, okay? There. All right, sorry. Anyway, that's how we met.
Why the name Uni?
Oh, that's a good question. It's actually
we have the scripted answer for this one. Don't deviate.
Can I not tell the real reason?
Well, when do you ever follow the rules?
Yeah. I mean, the real reference is I really like sea urchin. You know, Uni is like sea urchin when you go to a Japanese restaurant. And, but it's not for everyone. It's an acquired taste. A lot of Americans don't get it. But I was like flirting with this French chick one day, and she really liked Uni, and I really liked Uni. And then from that moment on, we were like going to start the band with her, and then we didn't do it with her. But yeah, that's the reason.
And I feel like it's that's I really like the name Uni, but for like the 21st century for finding music, it's probably like the worst band name in the world.
Oh yeah, because so many words begin with Uni, and I mean that's another cool reason why we like the name, because it can mean like unified, so many things, unicorn, whatever. But because of that, it's so hard to find in the search algorithms and Spotify, like people can't even find us. So yeah. we've been recommended to change it to an acronym, kind of like what I did with the ghost with Sean, to change it to an acronym. But it's really hard to think of three words that begin with U and I that aren't lame.
It's unknown. It's uncanny.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable that there's no words.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. How can... Unbelievable.
Think of three, yeah, so try to think of three words right now, you and I, that sound cool together and isn't lame.
Umbrella necrophiliac imbeciles.
That's great.
All right, great. That's our new band name.
Uniboob Nexus Information.
Yeah, I always go with the nerdy ones. Too nerdy.
Which other musicians, places, and experiences in your life do you think have influenced your, you know, creative processes, but also the music of the Uni band?
Probably our time in jail.
Yeah.
That's influenced it the most.
There was an incident, basically, everything was going, we're normal kids, you know, we listen to music, we listen to the Velvet Underground, you know, like David Bowie. And then one night in New Jersey, we went skinny dipping on the beach. And got arrested for it, and that pretty much changed our perspective on everything.
So talking about two new singles that have come out recently, going kind of in chronological order, Predator's Ball has now been out for a few weeks. What is the song about? Could you tell me more about the lyrics and about the writing process for that song?
It's about current U.S. politics. No.
Right. It does feel very, like, apropos for now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's sort of more about, I guess, the Illuminati, and there's a lot of Illuminati conspiracies about us, which we sort of like to troll and fan the flame of. So that video and song is definitely, like, one of those moments. But in terms of the writing process, David and I wrote that song. I'm the music director and primary songwriter, but he writes a lot of amazing lyrics on a lot of the songs, and Jack changes the melodies and comes up with harmonies and has a lot of production input. Yeah, so it's kind of like an exquisite corpse. You know that Victorian parlor game?
No, what is that?
You guys don't know? Okay, so Exquisite Corpse is, it's an old Victorian parlor game that they would play in, like, artist salons, where one person would, like, start a drawing and then, like, fold the paper over so you couldn't see, like, the legs of the creature, and then another person would have to draw the torso, and then another person would have to draw the head, and they wouldn't get to see the whole thing until the reveal in the end. And you can also do it with, like, a sentence. You can, like, do an Exquisite Corpse sentence where... Yeah, and you can do it with a song, and that we sort of do that with songs, like sort of build on each other's ideas. That's been another interesting thing about COVID, actually, is because we're not like allowed to see other people or do like big recording sessions. Like Sean and I were just like posting jams in the beginning of quarantine, and then having strangers on the internet like overdub and record their ideas on top of it. And it was really cool because Sean and I would just play like a bass and drum thing and like upload that to the internet. And then all these like psych bands would like add organ and guitars and all sorts of things like Mellotron on top of it. So that was a really cool process. And that's basically a modern version of Exquisite Corpse.
Exquisite Corpse.
You mentioned the video a little bit more. Could you also talk about the, I guess, storyline for the video and how you came up with those ideas and how you filmed that too?
Well, a lot of people really compare, they make two main comparisons in the video, you know, to Beowulf and the Odyssey, you know, and I think because, you know, the comparisons are quite obvious. You know, when you watch it, you see, you can obviously tell what characters.
It's basically just the Odyssey line for line.
Yeah. you know, there is the, there's also an element of, Alice in Wonderland, and there are the people.
Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah. And it really is man's, you know, some people say it's man against nature, some people say it's man against other man, but this truly, I think, is a story of man.
It's woman against man, really.
Well, it's the main character of the video does not identify either way. It's not known. And so it really is a struggle of one's own, you know, perception of reality and their struggle to overcome.
Don't listen to a word this man says, by the
way. I was buying it. I was picking it up. No, the video.
No.
She gets into a bad situation. She gets out of it, ends up in a worse situation that's extremely opulent and glamorous and evil, and decides, like, yeah, I think I should probably stay here. And then she becomes like a bloodthirsty reptilian cheerleader. It's a tale as old as time.
Well,
that old cliche.
As Friedrich Nietzsche said, when you
stare, we did play with a lot of tropes.
The void also stares into you. And that's what this main character experiences.
Yeah. It's like a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's like kind of like that meets The Notebook.
Yeah.
It's The Notebook with more snakes.
And blood.
It's cool. We just got a bunch of our friends together in like this creepy old house basically and just had a freaky day.
Yeah, there's lots of boobs in it, but like now we can't advertise it on YouTube because of all the boobs.
Yeah, it's a mess. Yeah, it's weird that the boobs get discriminated against, but the full-on like bloody nun or me in like the debris video, like fully frontal naked, is like totally fine, but women's breasts.
Yeah, our next video needs to just be like puppies and rainbows and people skipping through fields in slow motion, like a Prozac commercial.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if I had it my way.
Isn't that what you used to do for a living?
Yeah. Tampon commercials.
Sorry, anyway.
And then you had DNA come out on the 20th, so yesterday, a couple days ago, yeah.
It came out yesterday, right?
Yeah,
that yesterday. That was just yesterday. Yeah, wow. that just dropped. That was a fun one. It was a lot more low budget. We just sort of got very inspired by sort of Soviet German experiments. We're talking about the potential calamity of genetic modification, essentially, where we're headed as a species, in terms of this uber control of, like, you know, extending our lifespans, changing the color of our eyes, and then sort of the unforeseen side effects of all that kind of stuff. So it was just sort of a play on that.
And what's next for Uni? I mean, you've had Predator's Ball now come out recently, DNA came out yesterday. What else can fans look forward to in the coming months?
Well, we've actually got a vaccine for COVID that's going to be out before the election.
No, we're going to come up with some more videos. We got a few more lined up. We just shot one. I'm really excited about.
Yes, we have more videos coming out, to answer your question. We have a lot more videos coming out.
Yeah,
we managed to be very prolific with videos somehow.
Yeah,
I heard that about you.
Now, you would not know it from talking to us, but we try our very
somehow
best.
Somehow, we pull it together.
Oh my god.
All right, thank you so much for coming in to chat
thank
with
you.
Me. You are so.
Do not publish any of that.
Hey, are Molly, we ready to get started?
You have my
now.
Full permission to underdub all of our answers.
Yeah.
Just get a good voice actor. It'll
not
be
even.
Bad
it's like, you know that sound that the PlayStation makes when it turns on, like, or like a computer, like, boom, just like replace all our vocals with
yeah, just like Brian Eno, like, sounds like. Oh, I like your pigtails, Jack.
Oh, thanks, dude. My hair is really dirty.
Me too.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Circles and lipstick. I'll dress in black and red. I'll wrap some ramen in plastic. Hide it under your bed. There's ways of place on the dance floor. Lizards on the stairs. Set fire to velvet curtains. Yeah.
one last song by Uni, that was Predator's Ball. Avant de vous quitter, j'ai une dernière chanson pour vous, et la chanson pour finir l'épisode aujourd'hui est Ta main de Ariane Roy. La voici.